You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at lockedonbulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at lockedonbulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/lockedonshybulls. Follow us on Instagram at lockedonbulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail line is 331-979-1369. How about you just, let's all pull out our phone right now as you're listening to the show. Type the number in, 331-979-1369, and put that in your contacts as Locked On Bulls. Throughout the season, whenever you're feeling like you need to just lay off a rant about the Bulls or you have something exciting to say, drop us a line, a text message, or a voicemail, and you'll be sure to hear it on the show. So once again, 331-979-1369 is the number. We are back. It is amazing. Finally, tip-off tonight against the 76ers. And Matt, I got to start right off the top of the show with this. This clip that I don't know if a lot of people saw this or not, but
hey, cocksuckers, you make all the money, throw me a $20 bill, his homeboys. You ain't no Michael Jordan.
Cristiano Felicio getting off the bus, getting hazed by some Philly fans.
Yeah, I guess you can call it a Philly fan. It looks to me like a half-naked homeless guy.
You ain't no Michael Jordan.
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? I'm stoked for this game tonight, man. Finally. So much waiting and some meaningless preseason action to break down, and now we actually get real Bulls basketball tonight. I'm stoked, man. We might be facing an uphill battle, and I use the term might rather loosely there, because we will be facing an uphill battle. Not only are the Bulls outmatched by the Sixers team, who are coming off a tough loss to Boston and are hungry for a win, but the Bulls earlier today announced that they have excused Chris Dunn for personal reasons. He will not be with the team tonight. Cameron Payne will be our starting point guard.
The tank
so,
commander.
Hey, here we go. Another Bulls season underway. Let's get it.
Man, there's a ton of different questions I want to ask you, and we're going to follow this opening segment with a little bit of talk, a little bit of preview about Philadelphia and tonight. And like you had said before, Chris Dunn not playing is a huge factor tonight. And going into Philly, I have so many questions for you, Matt, but just to kick off the show, let's get back to this Cristiano Felicio video for a second. A Philly homeless man yelling that you're not Michael Jordan might be already one of the funniest things to happen to the Bulls so far this season. And I don't know, that video, I don't know if any of you saw it. We just posted it on our Locked On Bulls feed, but man, that's pretty damn funny. And if there's anything that I can agree with, it's probably with this guy saying that, yeah, he's certainly not Michael Jordan.
Yeah, well, I think it's hotels.com who have that mascot Captain Obvious, right? Like the guy who's yes. dressed up in like the boat cap, like the sea captain's outfit. It's like I have expected him to jump out at some point and it to turn into a hotels.com commercial. because a homeless man ranting about how Chris Felicio is no Michael Jordan. Like, yeah, dude, who you think you're lecturing right now? Like, freaking duh, Chris Felicio is no Michael Jordan. What's the point you're trying to make?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, that's certainly an interesting start to the season tonight, but definitely excited for the game.
You know, we poke fun at Felicio on this show, and, you know, nobody's expecting big things from him this season, but I love how he just handled it with just like a smile.
He had a big smile
on his face, just kind of laughing at the guy, like, yeah, whatever, man.
I loved it. The majority of NBA teams tipping off either Tuesday or Wednesday night. Majority of the teams tipped off last night. So quickly, let's go around the league a little bit. Some highlights from last night. Matt, I got an opportunity to watch the Mavericks and the Suns last night. I don't know if you caught any of that game on ESPN. Mm-hmm. But man, DeAndre Ayton looks fantastic. Luka Doncic, like a lot of people going crazy for him on Twitter. I thought he looked decent, had some pretty decent plays, but overall was kind of underwhelming. I thought DeAndre Ayton played really well last night with that Suns team, and that Suns team's kind of surprising to me, at least coming out in the first game of the season, but you can see what a difference Ayton makes for that Suns team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody was picking the Suns to win that game. It's not like Dallas are going to be world beaters this season either, but I'm pretty sure the line was favoring Dallas in that one. I think Phoenix is expected to be one of the worst teams in the league this season. I liked what I saw from Ayton for sure. I mean, 18-10-6 in his first NBA game. That's pretty impressive. 8-11 from the field. You did see a couple examples of how he's going to struggle on the defensive end this year as far as switching and trying to go out to, you know, cover guys on the perimeter. He will have to continue to work on that side of his game. But, I mean, really looked good. And Doncic didn't have a great night shooting, just 5 of 16 from the field for 10 points. Only 4 assists, but a couple of those assists he had, including a nice little like bounce pass behind the back, were really pretty. You can already start to see the signs of Doncic being one of the really exciting young playmakers in the next generation of the NBA. I mean, I watched a good chunk of that game, and I'm all on board to watch Ayton and Doncic, and really this whole, like, the lottery part of this rookie class from 2018. I think there's going to be a lot of good players.
I totally agree. This rookie class is going to be a whole ton of fun to watch, but there's also an elephant in the room that we need to bring up. Did you get a chance to watch the Pelicans and the Rockets last night? Did you see who dropped 30 points and was 6-for-8 from three?
Mr.
Nikola Mirotic.
The beardless wonder. Did you notice that he kind of had something a little, I would say, a little fuller than a 5 o'clock shadow?
Yeah.
I think Nico's growing the beard back, man.
I hope so. It was a good look for him.
Either that or he forgot to bring his razor. I mean, but yeah, dude, 6 of 8 from downtown last night, 30 points, 10 boards, chipped in 3 assists. Look, I think 2 things happened in that game last night. One, we all remembered that the Pelicans, led by Anthony Davis, are capable of being a very good team. AD dropped 32-16, a monster double-double for him. Etuan Moore, former Bull, chipped in 21 points. And Elfrid Payton, 10-10, to round out the starting five. Julius Randle, who was, you know, their biggest offseason acquisition, chipped in 25 points off the bench. This Pelicans team is going to be really, really good. And also, most people were favoring the Rockets coming into that game because the Rockets were one game away from representing the West in the NBA Finals last season. I think the Rockets took a step back, and I think a lot of people are overlooking that. I'm sorry, but when you add a ancient and decrepit Melo but lose probably, you know, the team's best wing in Trevor Ariza and Luka Mbamute, I think the Rockets are going to be worse this year. I really do.
Yeah, and think about it, too. James Ennis, like, you subtracted Trevor Ariza and added James Ennis in your starting lineup. No thanks. Michael Carter-Williams, we also all got a chance to see how classic Michael Carter-Williams was last night by airballing at least 2 threes. Shout out to Stefan Noe, who tweeted the video of Nico just kind of standing off. He was standing almost in the paint and just let Michael.
He gave him a 12-foot cushion when MCW was standing behind the 3-point line. It was hilarious.
I got this question for you, though, before we just kind of wrap up this around the NBA look. If Nico is as good as he's playing right now, seems like he's building off the season that he had last year, him and Bobby Portis going into free agency next year, obviously Bobby Portis is going to be a restricted free agent, but Nico's going to be a unrestricted free agent if Nico puts up the numbers that are going to be arguably better than maybe Bobby's this year, maybe 18 to 20 points per game, and being that guy, do you think Bobby asking somewhere north of $15 million is unreasonable? And considering if Nico has a better season, seeing Nico get somewhere between what he asked the Bulls 2 years ago at $17 to $20 million per year?
I mean, I think that assuming that Nico will be an important piece on a team that is going to win a lot more games than the Bulls this season, his market value has a good chance of being higher than Bobby Portis's as free agents next summer. I truly believe that. I know that Bulls fans scoffed at the idea of paying Nico on a multi-year deal somewhere or for $17 or $18 million because at the time we didn't really see the optimal version of Nico who was worth that kind of money. But you are seeing, you saw it last season after the trade, and you're seeing it so far, you know, a big upset win over Houston to start the season. Nico's a very valuable piece of that team, and he dropped 30 points last night. I'm not saying Bobby's not capable of having those nights. We did see Bobby drop some 30-point games last season, and we probably will see him do that sometimes this season when he's putting up 19 shots in 19 minutes. But if pressed, I would say the teams, especially given how important Nico is to a good team versus how important Bobby is to a bad team, Nico might get higher offers than Bobby this next summer.
Yeah, Ben. And if I'm Nico Mirotic, I'm looking around and saying, you know what? If part of the reason why I'm having such great success is not only starting, but playing alongside probably one of the best players, if not for sure the best player, top three players in the NBA in Anthony Davis, like staying in New Orleans long term might be Nico's ticket to success. And it's good for him. I'm glad that he's finding success in a fresh start outside of Chicago here and outside of everything from here. And same thing with Bobby Portis. The best case scenario that's come out of the punch is both guys elevated their games, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, I think if Nico has somewhere around a 20-8 type of season, if not more, and shooting over 40% from three, then you might be looking at a Nico Mirotic signing a deal that's $18 to $20 million over 2, 3, 4 years per. So that'll be an interesting story to watch, for sure. Matt, before we get to a break, I have to mention Darnell Mayberry, the guys over at the Athletic Bulls podcast, and Stefano, who does a great job over there. I was reading articles just leading up to preseason, throughout preseason, now leading up to the regular season, and that's over at the Athletic. The Athletic has done a great job, and it's a staple in Chicago for right now. For a long time, if you haven't been subscribed before, we have a special deal going on with The Athletic right now. TheAthletic.com/LockedOnBulls. You can get a code for 40% off. That's $2.99 a month for some of the best content right now out there in sports. If you're on Twitter at all, you know the running joke among media members. It's like, oh, everybody's just quitting their job to join The Athletic. And it is very true. The top writers in all sports, not just the NBA, are joining The Athletic. And that's why you should, as a subscriber, join The Athletic now, theathletic.com/LockedOnBulls. If you use that specific URL, you will get 40% off, $2.99 a month, while subscribing to The Athletic. It's a great place, Matt. I don't know if you're subscribed or not. I would assume
so.
Oh,
my gosh. Since day one, and Chicago Athletic was the original branch of The Athletic, and now they're everywhere, all over the major markets, mid-markets, even smaller markets in the U.S. and Canada now. Have the Athletic going, and as soon as I figured out what their game was, I was like, yes, this is what I want. As someone who's wanting to still read quality sports writing without the pop-up ads, without the clickbait bullshit, The Athletic is amazing at what they do for genuine sports fans who want to read good, genuine sports writing. And it's a lot of different stuff. You know, they got people over there who do more opinion-based, op-ed kind of stuff, or entertaining, like humorous sports writing. Stefano does a great job with the analytics and the X's and O's of Bulls basketball. He's put out some great pieces analyzing the early looks of Fred Hoiberg's offense so far. And if you're a Chicago sports fan across the board, it's not just their Bulls group, but everybody there who covers the Bears, who covers the Hawks. Scott Powers is part of their Blackhawks coverage. The guy's awesome. I mean, if you don't have a Athletic Chicago subscription yet and you are a diehard Chicago sports fan, I don't know what the hell you're doing. It is so worth the small subscription fee.
Yeah, they have a great college basketball site headed by Seth Davis. So go check that out. Once again, theathletic.com/lockedonbulls. Go there, 40% off. That's $2.99 a month. I guarantee it, it will be worth your money if you're a huge sports fan like we are and you want some great writing. We'll be back here in 60 seconds on Locked On Bulls to preview the 76ers and the Bulls tonight. Stay right with us. Back here on Locked On Bulls, hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. On Facebook and Instagram, to Locked On Bulls. 331-979-1369 is the number. So 76ers and Bulls tonight, Matt. Obviously, it's going to be a very big challenge for the Bulls tonight. It's going to be exciting, though, nonetheless. We're going to see Wendell Carter Jr. in his first pro game as an NBA player in the regular season going up against arguably one of the best big men in basketball, Joel Embiid. But my biggest question here, Matt, aside that storyline, aside Chris Dunn not playing tonight, who the hell is going to guard Ben Simmons?
No one. I believe no one is the correct answer.
Think about it, though. Are you going to have Bobby guard Ben Simmons? Because if you watch the first game against the Celtics, on the offensive end of the ball, they had Markelle Fultz playing the point guard position, and they kind of dropped Ben Simmons off as like their three or their four at times. So are you going to allow Justin Holiday to play defense on him? Are you going to pair him up on defense with Bobby Portis? Who's the right answer here? Because to me, I'm grasping at straws at this point.
I mean, Chris Dunn is the right answer. Like, true. Even though Ben Simmons has a size advantage over Chris Dunn, the person on this roster that I would have the most faith in limiting Ben Simmons and forcing him into the parts of the floor that he doesn't want to operate in and forcing him to take shots that he can't take, it's Chris Dunn. Nobody else on this Bulls team I have any lick of confidence in containing Ben Simmons. I just don't. I don't know where Fred's going to turn first as far as who's going to be picking up Simmons in this starting five. I guess Holiday will probably take a turn. You'll probably see Portis try at some point, but I'm sorry, like, there's no way Portis has the speed and the quickness to keep up with Ben Simmons. He just doesn't. The Bulls aren't going to have an answer for that, plain and simple.
What's the better option? Do kind of what the Bulls have been successful with Chris Dunn there. It's not necessarily switching at times, because think about it, the 76ers are a pretty decent three-point shooting team. So going into night, if you start to decide that, all right, everybody's going to switch on everything, it doesn't matter at this point, everybody's just going to switch and try to eliminate as much as possible getting beat by Ben Simmons driving to the basket or just dumping it off to Joel Embiid, the idea that they're going to kick it out and hit a bunch of threes tonight doesn't necessarily appetize me that much. So what's the decision here? Do you just try to run with it at least in the first two quarters, see how it's going by just pairing somebody up with him? Or do you just say, you know what, screw it, let's just switch a bunch on defense and pray that the 76ers have an off night?
Yeah,
in three.
I think that's what you have to do. I think you have to pray that the Sixers have a rough night shooting from the perimeter, and also pray that the Bulls can do enough work on the defensive glass to actually get some stops on some misses and capitalize and get some offensive transition points going. Because I don't know how successful the Bulls are going to be tonight with a half-court offense. I think they will struggle to score with their half-court offense outside of clearing everything out and letting Zach LaVine go to work. Especially with no Chris Dunn and no Markkanen. We all love Bobby Portis, but it's not like he's like something that the Sixers have to really fear. Because they have Joel Embiid.
And hey, man, Dario Saric hasn't been bad. He wasn't bad against the Celtics.
No, Saric.
And they were having problems.
Yeah, no, Dario Saric ain't no scrub. I honestly, like, unless LaVine has a absolutely monster night and nobody on the Sixers can check him, and the Bulls capitalize on a few opportunities to get their transition offense going, I think this game could turn ugly as it progresses. Like, I would not be surprised to see a 20-point loss tonight.
That's what I was just going to ask you. That was my kind of follow-up, is what do the Bulls need to do in order to stay in this game at least until the fourth quarter starts? Like, and to me, staying in this game is being down a dozen or less. That's staying in it for me. And you brought up Zach LaVine having a monster night. What's a monster night look like for him?
30 plus, 35. I think LaVine needs to have a 30-plus point night for the Bulls to be in this. I really do.
I think another factor, too, to this, and this has been where the Bulls have won and had success in the preseason, is if Justin Holiday's going to take 12 to 14 shots, which you know he's going to tonight, he's got to knock those down. It's got to be 8 for 14. It's got to be 7 for 12 tonight. We need that production because look at the games. The five preseason games, Justin Holiday went 2 for 10 or 1 for 9. The Bulls were getting killed. The Bulls were off completely. So you need Justin Holiday to at least lock it down a little bit at the wing position for you on offense. Kind of free up space maybe for Zach LaVine to find some open looks and also to maybe get Wendell Carter Jr. involved too. Like, you're missing Chris Dunn, your anchor there, so I would assume that Zach LaVine is going to have to dictate how the offense is run most of the night. Can't really rely on Cameron Payne doing that, so maybe getting Wendell Carter Jr. involved a little bit, and maybe that'll free up some space for Bobby Portis to get it going too on the offensive end. But I think the common theme here is the Bulls are going to have to score a shitload of buckets just to stay in this game.
You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm glad you did mention Wendell, because especially with no Chris Dunn tonight, I would love it if Fred tries to find ways to get Wendell some open looks. Because in the preseason, and certainly even for the first stages of the regular season, we're expecting Wendell to be a rookie who, you know, is still finding his footing. And everybody's talking about how he's one of the most NBA-ready rookies of this class, and I think I'm, you know, of that same line of thought. But most of it is about how, oh my gosh, we love seeing all of his amazing blocks in Summer League, and we love seeing the fact that he's going to be a difference maker on the defensive end right away. We've only seen a few moments of, oh wow, no, this kid Wendell's got some moves on the offensive end as well. He had that turnaround fadeaway jumper in their last preseason game, and everybody went, oh, hot damn. Oh, right, yeah, no, this Wendell kid can score. So, I mean, we'll see if Wendell can actually get himself a good amount of run in this game. Because he is being tasked with guarding Joel Embiid, which is one of the toughest guards in the league right now, and because Wendell is a rookie, I am terrified in my assumption that Wendell's going to be on the bench with two fouls within the first 6 minutes. Like, I'm just assuming that's happening. So it might be hard for him to overcome that slow start and really get a feel for this game and get his offensive game going. But if by some miracle he stays out of foul trouble, I would love to see Wendell get up like 10 to 12 shots tonight.
Worth mentioning, too, I don't know which way this will swing, but Robert Covington, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons all played. Ben Simmons played 43 minutes against the Boston Celtics. Embiid played 37, and Covington played 34. J.J. Redick played 30, so those four guys, I would assume those guys are going to be out there playing similar minutes against the Bulls unless...
Oh,
unless
I thought you were going to say like they might be a little bit tired, and I was going to be like, please.
No, I would say similar minutes unless the 76ers are up like 20-25 at halftime.
Yeah.
Then you might see them bring out the scrubs. But yeah, if this is a close game going into halftime, third quarter, you're going to see those guys out there for the most majority of the night. So on top of all of those guys, the other thing I wanted to mention too, if it wasn't clear from before, Chris Dunn, Denzel Valentine as well will not play tonight, and obviously Lauri Markkanen not playing either. Will be interesting to see what guard rotation Fred decides to go with. Is Archie Diakono going to get more playing time tonight because Dunn's out, or is he going to maybe stick with Antonio Blakeney and try to do some three-man rotation work with Cameron Payne, Zach LaVine, and Antonio Blakeney, and seeing those guys play higher minutes, and maybe if they have to use Ryan Arcidiacono for 10-15 minutes tonight. So
we did hear that, and this is most likely because of Dunn's absence, both of the two-way kids, Raleigh Alkins and Tyler Ulis, are active tonight, so we might see either of them too.
Interesting. I would like to see some Raleigh Alkins tonight. That would be interesting. Tyler Ulis, maybe. I would actually, what's the bet?
From Chicago, Tyler Ulis.
What's the bet? Is it, who's going to play more minutes tonight, Tyler Ulis or Ryan Arcidiacono?
That's a good, I might go Archie. I would like the answer to be Tyler Ulis, but I think because whatever weird level of trust Fred Hoiberg has in Arcidiacono, and because he's been in town and in training camp longer than Tyler Ulis, and Ulis has still only been here for like less than a week, I would say the safe bet is Archie Diakono.
Who does Jabari Parker guard tonight?
Nobody. Himself. the floor. The concessions guy, three rows up. The scoreboard, the scorekeeper.
The homeless guy yelling
at Felicio outside the team hotel. That's who Jabari's guarding tonight. Mark it down.
Hey,
mark it zero.
You make all the money. Throw me a $20 bill. His homeboys.
Oh, well.
You ain't no Michael Jordan.
Well, this would have been a little bit more interesting had Chris Dunn started. So hopefully, whatever personal issue he's dealing with, he returns relatively quickly, if not this weekend, maybe sometime next week. But this had to come up somewhat recently because the Bulls announced a couple days ago that Chris Dunn was going to be the starter, or at least Fred Hoiberg did. So yeah, hoping he gets back sooner rather than later, but also hoping everything's all right with him as well.
Yeah, one of our regular listeners had a comment to me on Twitter earlier today that was like, you know, first game of the season and he's already out, like, you know, so much for that rookie extension, talking about Chris Dunn. And I came back at him and I was like, yep, dude, like, we don't know what's going on yet. And if it's something as serious as him being excused for the first game of the season when he's the team's starting point guard, it's probably something pretty important. And there's a chance that it's something serious and not good. So before we all start cracking jokes about Chris Dunn not being there tonight, let's wait to see what this is about. And hopefully, as you said, hopefully Chris and everyone in his family is okay.
Definitely agree. One last break real quick here on Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369. Drop us your reaction after tonight's game. We'd love to play those voicemails on the show after tonight's performance. So 331-979-1369. Be back after 60 seconds. Stay right with us. Back here on Locked On Bulls. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Remember, head to theathletic.com/lockedonbulls to get that 40% off code. Just type in www.theathletic.com/lockedonbulls. You get 40% off. That's $2.99 a month. So go ahead and do that. So quickly, before we get out of here and we let tonight play out in the beginning of year two in the rebuild, Matt, I asked you to come up with some overall season expectations and four main questions I want to hit it on, specifically for the Bulls. We talked about this on the Locked On NBA show a few weeks ago when we did our Bulls preview for everybody there. And we were asked a couple questions that I thought it was intriguing if we do this with the Bulls specifically. So I asked you who your MVP is going to be this season, who your most improved player is going to be, your biggest disappointment of the season, and is Fred Hoiberg still the coach at the start of April when the season is over? So let's start with team MVP. I want you to go first.
Well, so when we did that segment for Locked On NBA's show a few weeks back, I think my answer was Markkanen, and that's what I want my answer to be, but with his elbow injury and expecting Markkanen to miss, I don't know, somewhere around 15 or 20 games, plus the offensive aggression and athleticism and real dominant stretches we saw from LaVine in those preseason games, I think right now my answer has to be Zach LaVine.
Yep, that is mine too, and I think that was going to be my MVP regardless of the Markkanen injury. Like, even though we saw major steps in we thought was going to be year two of Markkanen's success before the injury, I still have this slight edge that I feel like Zach LaVine is going to be the carrier of this team if it does want to win more than 27 games, which Vegas was notched the Bulls at this season. So for a handful of reasons and for the success we've seen in the preseason and also just the way the bounce that Zach LaVine has come back with, seems like he is set to have a really good year. So he's also my MVP. So most improved player, Matt, this was a tough choice for me. I went back and forth with a couple of the guys on the bench. Maybe it's going to be a rookie. Maybe it's going to be Chris Dunn. But I ultimately fell back on the guy that I felt like had a really good year last year, and that was Bobby Portis. And I think he's going to build on what he did last year and showcase himself, and even more so with Markkanen not playing for the first 20-25 games and Bobby getting the start initially. I think he's going to build into that and maybe prove to the Bulls and prove to other NBA teams out there, if he's looking for a starter job, this is his opportunity to do it. And I think he's going to be my most improved player. What is your most improved player?
Got to be Felicio, right?
you ain't no Michael Jordan.
No, I kid. To me, it's the same answer as MVP. It's Zach LaVine. We saw pre-ACL tear Zach LaVine as the third offensive option in Minnesota behind Towns and Wiggins. We saw basically just a try to get Zach to remember what basketball is 25-game sample last season. I am, you know, I'm putting all my eggs in this LaVine basket of optimism. If he becomes a 22, 24 points per game scorer, which I think is within the realm of possibility, especially carrying this load without Markkanen for the first quarter of the season, and if we see at least some piece of evidence of him improving his defensive game, and, you know, the whole idea of him trying more, and maybe he'll be motivated. I don't know if you saw those great words of motivation from Chris Dunn, his teammate, about how, like, he said to LaVine, look, like, you're longer than I am, you're more athletic than I am, there's no way that you should not be as good of a defender as I am in this league.
That was great. I love that.
I loved hearing that, and I think that Zach LaVine, after hearing all the trash talk about his defensive game in Chicago, is going to try and step up. I have more faith in LaVine becoming a better defender this season than I have in Jabari Parker. So because of that, and the offensive burden that is being asked of him, if Zach LaVine has a fully healthy season, I think he is our MVP and the most improved player on this team.
Next up, biggest disappointments. This one could hang this chain on a handful of guys on this team because there are so many question marks with where this Bulls season's going to go. But I think I have to go with the most obvious one, and that's the guy that signed the $20 million deal this summer, and that's Jabari Parker. The struggles that he's having and the way he tests himself and sees how he responds to coming off the bench in the first 20 or so games and until basically Fred Hoiberg sees the improvement on defense, I have to go with Jabari Parker, man. Like, even if he does get back to the scoring level that we thought we were at least going to get, I think the defense has proved us already in preseason, and I hope it changes, but I think it's proved to us that this is going to be super problematic for the Bulls. And the biggest disappointment, I think I'm going to have to hang my hat on him, unfortunately, and I have a feeling I know who you're picking.
Well, your assumption would be that I would chime in and agree with you and say Jabari, right?
Correct.
All right, I'm going to analyze this a different way. If you are disappointed in someone, it means that they do not live up to your expectations, correct? That is what it means to be disappointed.
True.
For that reason, no, my answer is not Jabari Parker. Because all summer long, after he signed, everyone who listens to this podcast, and you, my friend, know what my expectations for Jabari Parker have been. They have been about as low as you can get. I don't think he was worth that $20 million contract. I don't think he was a good fit. Fred Hoiberg, the head coach, has already given up on his boss's idea of him playing the three. Already, he is fulfilling my low expectations. So it's not a disappointment to me if Jabari doesn't have a great season. It will be exactly in line with what my expectations were coming in. So that's that. To that end, my fearful answer to this question of who might be my biggest disappointment this season is Chris Dunn. Because I really want Chris Dunn to have a breakout year. And I really, really want Chris Dunn to look like a guy who is already kind of in his prime and isn't really a guy that you can call a project or a prospect anymore, who really needs to take a step forward to prove that he belongs as a piece of this core moving forward. And I don't know if it's going to happen. I just don't know if he's going to improve enough on the offensive end to turn himself into a complete player, an impressive player who can really be this team's fearless leader, be this team's starting point guard, and do that job effectively on both ends of the floor. In that sense, my fear for biggest disappointment is Chris Dunn.
So what's your expectations for Chris Dunn then? Where do you sit as far as the bar goes? Does he have to have an uptick in points, rebounds, assists?
He has to have an uptick in everything, man. In everything. Finishing percentage at the rim. Free throw attempts per game. 3-point percentage. Assist to turnover ratio. It's all got to get better. It all has to get better. And I'm trying to convince myself that it's possible for Chris Dunn to improve on all those facets of his offensive game. But it's a lot to ask, and therefore I think he is my most likely candidate to disappoint me this season.
Interesting. Very interesting, and that's true. I would say Parker is my biggest disappointment because I still held out hope, even though I didn't like the signing, that he could at least come in here and score maybe 18 to 20 per game, and we can wave bye-bye to him after 1 year, and he goes signs with another team. So that's why I have this odd feeling that if he can't find himself turning it around on the bench and overcoming the adversity of not starting right away, if he can't turn that into a success story, I think that's what we're going to turn, and we're going to see things sour with Jabari Parker. And they haven't, I would say they haven't gotten off to the greatest start either, like kind of denying yourself from the media, not wanting to talk, not happy about not starting, not willing to play defense, admitting that vocally on radio here in Chicago. Like all of those things, it hasn't necessarily got off to the greatest start for Parker. So I think that's why I'm shooting for him as the biggest disappointment, and I hope I'm wrong. So final question here, Matt, before we get out of here. Is Fred Hoiberg here as the Chicago Bulls head coach at the end of the season? Ooh, yes or no?
Man, it can really go either way. Like, I don't have a screaming answer definitively yes or no. They could stick it out with Fred through the end of this season, and I wouldn't be surprised. And it also wouldn't surprise me if they decide to fire him at some point before the season is over. Based on my not pessimistic but realistic expectation of this not being a playoff team, of this being a roster filled with a bunch of one-way players who don't gel all that well and don't fit all that well together, and the fact that this team is probably going to disappoint the expectations of those who want them to be competitive and want them to get back to the playoffs. And even though it is Fred's bosses who largely are the ones responsible for this, you know, random roster of guys that don't really fit together and will fall short, they will have a scapegoat, and that scapegoat will be Fred. And because of the relationship between the Reinsdorfs and Paxson, and to a slightly lesser extent, but still a strong tie of trust and faith in Gar Forman, those guys are not going to be held accountable because it seems like they never are. And Fred will be the fall guy. And even though Fred is already doing right by himself and right by his players with this starting lineup and benching Jabari, that was the right call. And he's doing the best with the weird assembly of players that his bosses gave him. I can see him being the fall guy, and they'll move on to someone else. So if pressed, I would say, Fred will be fired by the end of the season.
Interesting. I am going the opposite route. While I feel like if this rebuild is very disappointing, if the guys that are going to be here long term do not progress, that is Chris Dunn, that is Lauri Markkanen, that is Zach LaVine. Those three guys, and Wendell Carter Jr., I'll put him in there too. Regardless of what Jabari Parker does this season, I don't think the Bulls can base their decision off of what happens with him. It's a one-year project. They brought him in as a flyer, spent a lot of money on it, but ultimately I don't think that's going to be the ultimate axe for Fred Hoiberg. I think it's if Lauri Markkanen returns from this injury and all of a sudden he's worse than he was last year, he's taking a step back rather than a step forward. Zach LaVine scores at a high clip, but still you don't see a lot from him. I think if Chris Dunn, like you had said before, becomes your biggest disappointment, if two out of the three of those guys don't progress and take that step forward, I could see Fred Hoiberg being out. But to me right now, I just don't see two out of those four guys, Carter, Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen, I can't see three to four of those guys taking a step back. So that's why I think the Bulls, as much as they want to say they're winning over money, even if at the end of the season they're what, 27 to 32 wins, do you really project them to make the playoffs or to make another push in year three? Or would you ride it out with Fred Hoiberg, and then when you have your team set, then you can go coach hunting? Because right now, nobody on the market that I would want to fill that role other than it being Jim Boylan. He's been here a long time. If Fred Hoiberg is out this season, I'd rather them replace him with him. At least he's got a little bit of a defensive mind, and he knows these guys. He's been here for a while, and a lot of those guys credit him for hard work. And you looked at the Charlotte Hornets. They interviewed him for a head coaching job just this summer. So maybe he's the guy to step in and fill that role. But ultimately, I think the Bulls are going to ride this entire contract out, man, regardless of what happens, unless, like I said before, two out of the four guys that I had mentioned being here long term take steps back rather than steps forward. So ultimately, I'm going to say that I think Fred Hoiberg is still the coach of the Chicago Bulls at the end of the season.
That's fair. And like I said at the beginning of my take, it's not like I'm convinced that they're going to fire Fred Hoiberg before the season is over. Just if pressed, I would say that it's slightly more likely, but not much. Like if I had to put it at percentages, I would say like somewhere between 55 and 60% that Fred gets fired versus somewhere between like, you know, 40-45%.
And it's hard for me to sit here and like analyze everything that not only Michael Reinsdorf had said outside of the Jerry West stuff.
Well, first of all, when I talked to Jerry West, it was...
But John Paxson...
Jerry West. Jerry West. Did I tell you that Jerry West really likes our direction? Have I mentioned that Jerry West was a great manager back in the day? Oh, have I talked to you about how much I love my friendship with Jerry West?
Well, first of all, when I talked to Jerry West, it was...
Michael, you know we're talking about your organization right now, right?
So, outside of his thoughts, John Paxson and Gart Forman have tripled and quadrupled down on saying that Fred Hoiberg is their guy, and they've seen a lot of improvements in those first 3 years, now in his fourth season. So that's why I have to take their word on it and say...
They say a lot of things,
they
Jordan.
They do. But if recently, if we're talking about recently, a lot of the things that they have said have been truthful. So I'll take them at their word for this at least. And like, it goes back to money too, man. Are they really going to pay Fred Hoiberg out if they fire him for another year just to bring in another head coach who's probably going to be expensive?
They did that for they did that to Tibbs and did
that
for Tibbs.
Yeah, but the relationship's different than what ended up with Tibbs.
For now, it is a better relationship than the relationship that existed between Tibbs and the front office by the time that ended. But if they need a fall guy, they can cash a check to have a fall guy. Or I should say they can write a check to have a fall guy that's not themselves. If they want to put accountability on someone that isn't themselves, they will pay Fred Hoiberg to be that guy.
I just think it's too early to have a fall guy. Year two of a rebuild, to me, that's too early. Like, if we're talking about this year three and nothing's changed, we're talking about at the end of 2019, then yeah, sure, I could see a fall guy. But at that point, his contract's
over. I mean,
over.
If you you were talking about player development, Jordan, and that's, you know, a hot phrase that the Bulls organization loves to use. Yes, it's only year two of the rebuild. But if, as you were saying a minute ago, if from year one to year two of this rebuild, those key guys that we're talking about do not make a noticeable improvement in their game, what says the front office can't blame Fred Hoiberg for that? Because they super can.
They can. That's true. I just think looking at rebuilds across the league, like 2 years is too early to, I guess, make any judgments about anybody as far as your long-term pieces. But yeah, certainly if two out of the four guys that I mentioned that's going to be here long-term take steps back, then maybe they do. Maybe they do go in a different direction. But to me, it's like, goes back to the question of the summer. Who do you replace him with? Who is better out there that you would want, that you could think of, that can come here and take this over? Do you want to start over with somebody that's never...
I don't know. Who's Iowa State's coach right now?
Do you want to start over with somebody that... Starting over with...
Who in the McDermott family
no
needs a job?
Coaching experience in the NBA. I don't know if I want to play that game again. And I've said that before. I said that in the summer. And I think...
Well, whoever it is, you'll be sure that, you know, they have a great relationship based on trust and communication.
And somehow have a connection to Tim
I don't
Floyd.
Know why I'm feeling so salty today, man. I really
you
don't
are.
Know why.
I think it's because Chris Dunn's not playing. Cameron Payne's got a start.
It's that, and it's also, did you read that piece that Ricky O'Donnell wrote today?
I did. I know.
I think that's why I'm feeling salty, because it just got me feeling all sorts of old feelings from back in the day, and I am feeling very salty right now.
I think those feelings wouldn't be here if Markkanen was playing. I will just throw that out there.
I'm with you. Dude, my buddies at Bulls Outsiders last night when we were doing a little sneak peek episode on Facebook Live were trying to tell me, like, still so excited, so jacked up for the season. And to some extent, I am. But they were trying to say, like, you know, even with Markkanen out, like, I'm still so excited. And it might be good for them to play without Markkanen. I was like, no, stop. I disagree. Markkanen is the thing I was most excited about this season. That hasn't changed. And I hate the fact that I have to wait to see Markkanen on that floor, and I hate the fact that the Bulls tip off their season tonight and Markkanen is going to be sitting on that bench in street clothes. I hate it.
Your buddy C. Red Fred is probably hating it too because his man, Denzel Valentine.
Never refer to him as my buddy.
His Denzel Valentine is not playing tonight, so he's probably a little bit crushed as well. And then on top of that, Nico having a stellar night last night. Probably not a good 48 hours for C. Red Fred, so maybe we should go and check on him. But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up after tonight's game. We'd love your reaction. 331-979-1369. If you want to drop us your MVP, your most improved player, your biggest disappointment, and if Fred Hoiberg is going to be here or not, we'd love to hear that from you too. So 331-979-1369 on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan Z. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook and Instagram at Locked On Bulls. You can follow us both there. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode to break down tonight's opener against the 76ers. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. That's going to do it here. Enjoy Bulls basketball tonight, the start of a fresh season. Never know what can happen. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. We are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com